when we were away, we fellowshipped at a Calvary Chapel church down in Cape May. And the reason why we chose to go there is because they're a fellowship like us, not much bigger than we are. And they just moved out of a storefront into a firehouse that the town had abandoned. And it was good to see their progress. So the saints in Cape May send their love, and it was really good to be with them. God gave us a good time of rest. I thank you for allowing us that time, and I thank Angelo and Matthew for covering the pulpit with me. I understand. When you're away, you're never away. The feedback I got on Matthew's and Angelo's message was incredibly good. So I appreciate how God used them in this. The Matthew's message is on our website. Angelo's was recorded. It will be on shortly. And on iTunes. So if you missed Angelo's message, you can go back and hear it. It was a good time. Would you open, please, to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, and if you would just follow along silently with me. Exodus chapter 3, beginning of verse 1. If you don't have your Bibles, it's up here. I want you to pay particular attention to this, because I really believe that this speaks to each of us, no matter what stage of life we are at, and no matter how old or young, to be quite honest with you. Listen to what God says here in his word. Verse 1, chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within the bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Excuse me. Why does not the bush burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed heard the misery, seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them out of the slavery into a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Termites. No, that wasn't in there. And now, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And so, go, saying to Moses, and so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? God said, I will be with you. And this is a sign to you, that is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to tell you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared and said to me, I have watched over you and seen what you have done, what they have done to you in Egypt. One of the reasons why I chose this today this is not a typical Mother's Day message, and I know in a sermon I like to appeal to a broad audience. However, there are times in a mother's life, and correct me if I'm wrong, where they really think that the work they're doing is kind of mundane, boring after a while, especially when you have to change those smelly diapers, day after day. And it just doesn't pertain to moms. It pertains to dads who go out to work and work hard and come home and are tired and go back to work the next day. And you figure you're working for taxes and medical bills and all sorts of things that are coming up. And what I'd like you to do today is get a flavor for a principle that I believe we have to hear more and more about from the scriptures and from the pulpit. And that is this. God wants us never to make excuses not to do what he has called us to do. Ouch. Ouch. I want to tell you that back in 2000, May 2000, as a matter of fact, we had the privilege and the honor to attend Joey's graduation at Ursinus College. And there was a speaker there who I did not know. Commencement speaker. He got up to the podium. All I knew about him was that he was the chief of neurological surgery, pediatric neurological surgery, down in John Hopkins, and his name was Dr. Ben Carson. Had the honor of hearing him that day. And in fact, right now on Inspiration, we won't turn it on. The movie based on his life with Cuba Gooding Jr. is playing, and it's called Gifted Hands. It's from his book. If you don't have his book, he has three books. You should pick them up and read them. I want to read to you some of Ben Carson's background, all right? He was born in Michigan in 1951 to a young mother in the inner city of Detroit. He and his older brother, Curtis, grew up amid poverty, crime, and violence. His parents divorced when Dr. Carson was very young. He and his brothers were raised by their mother. After his parents' divorce, Carson lost confidence in himself and believed, after his parents' divorce, Carson lost confidence in himself and believed his classmates who would insult him by calling him names. He internalized those insults and began developing a bad and violent temper. His mother challenged him and his brothers, he and his brother, to strive for excellence. Thanks to his mother's powerful faith, and I want to underline that, thanks to his mother's powerful faith in him, he regained confidence and educated himself by reading two books per week. You may not know his mother was illiterate. But she knew enough about the books to ask him questions. Listen to how this progressed. He had to provide regular reports of his readings to his mother. She had a third grade education, but a PhD in life. She consistently motivated Carson by telling him, Benny, if you know how to read, you can know and learn practically anything you want. The doors of the world are open to anybody who can read. And my boys are going to be successful in this life because they are going to be the best readers in their school. His mother regularly checked his work and his brother's work. She challenged them to excellence by reading and turning off the television. Carson's grades at school gradually improved. Dr. Carson shared the thoughts he had at that tender age of 8. I love listening to stories in church. And it seemed that missionaries were the noblest people in the world. They made great sacrifices. Wow, could there be anything greater than that? Dr. Carson's incredible achievements are remarkable. In spite of a difficult start in life, he succeeded against all our odds. When Dr. Carson took the podium that day of Joey's graduation, he got up and very boldly, but very politely said, "I was told by the administration of this university, this college, that I cannot mention the name of Jesus Christ." He says, "But I'll never get invited back here again, I am sure." And he told the story of his life and how his faith in Jesus Christ taught him that if whatever he was going to do in life, if it was not to serve other people, then it was a waste of time. And so he told the student body on that day that if you're going on to graduate school or you're entering a profession and your sole ambition is to make money alone, you're wasting your time. But if it's to serve others with the talents and gifts that God has given you, then you're on the right track. And if you happen to get paid well for it, you can enjoy the blessings. But if you don't, the rewards are there for themselves. Then he went on to say this: the greatest gift that his mother gave to him was to accept no excuse. In other words, not to say, "Hey, look, woe is me. I came from the slums of Detroit. Woe is me. I came from a broken marriage. Woe is me. I came from this. I came from that." His mother would constantly correct him and say, "There is no excuse." And Dr. Carson will tell you that it was his faith in Jesus Christ who kept him going. Dr. Carson got 7 standing ovations during that commencement speech. I don't know how many people were there. It was in an outside tent, and it was packed, not a seat to be spared. He got 7 standing ovations, and all he did was preach about principles from the Bible. Dr. Carson will tell you exactly when God called him and how he responded and how he's still responding today. There's another man who some of you know. By the way, I have some of his information up here if you want to see it. There's another man that some of you have know and have heard, and his name is David Ring. David Ring is a worldwide evangelist, except that he can't talk well. God called him, saved him, actually, when he was a young man. He was born with cerebral palsy. His father abandoned the family. His mother died when he was young. And one night, his older sister took him to an evening service at church, back when churches still had evening services. And he said he felt the call of God on his life. He was 10 years old. Felt the call of God on his life. And he said at that service, he gave his life to Christ and he went back to his seat. He said in that still small voice, God said to him, "You're going to be a preacher." And he said to God, "I can't speak. People can't understand me when I speak. I can't walk right." He says, "I can't even hold up a glass of water without spilling it." And he said, "Lord, can't you use somebody else?" And I started that tug of war, but, you know, God eventually won. And to this day, he's booked around the world as an evangelist. And if you ever hear him, you can get his CDs. One of the messages that he preaches is, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" It's a great message. The other one is, "I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? What is your excuse?" The last person I want to share with you is Johnny Erickson Tata. I have some of her information up here. Johnny Erickson Tata, when she was a teenager, went out to go swimming in a lake, She dove off a pier in the lake, and unfortunately, she hit a stone or rock that she could not see, damaged her spinal cord. She ended up being a quadriplegic. Faith in God, and this incident shook her to the foundations of her faith. And God, it was another wrestling match with God, and over the years, how in her writings and her honesty, how she and God wrestled through this. But she will be the first to tell you that it was from a wheelchair that God called her to start a ministry for handicapped people. That ministry now is worldwide. Johnny and Friends. Worldwide. How God used a quadriplegic to start a dynamic ministry. You know, she learned to paint with her teeth. Beautiful paintings. Beautiful paintings. She's a writer, a prolific writer. She married a man who loved and cherished her to this day. I think she was married back in 1982 and to a professor, and how they have flourished over the years. Now, she has bad days too, but God has always brought her through. And so we come to Moses. Moses was the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember that. And as Moses enjoyed that life of privilege, Moses built up an ego to the point where he thought he, by his own self, could deliver his fellow Hebrews from the suffering in the Egyptians. And when he saw one of his fellow Hebrews getting beat up by Egyptians, he ended up killing the Egyptian soldier. And he got in all sorts of trouble. Well, he left and fled into a desert. This is where he met Jethro and his daughter Miriam. And from being here, thinking that he himself could deliver his fellow Israelites, God had to take him from here down to here. And say, in effect, he said to Moses, Moses, you think you're all that? You're not. Because Moses, I have to teach you how to be a leader. And for you to be a true leader, for you to be a true deliverer, you have to learn you can't do anything without me. So counterculture, isn't it? Because when we train leaders, even in the workplace, we train leaders to that they can do whatever they want to do, and there's different styles of leadership. And let me tell you something. Biblical leadership is never taught that way. Biblical leadership has to be taught from a broken heart, a heart of humility, and a heart that was taken low so God can raise us back up again. And so Moses spent 40 years in the desert. He was 40 years old when he left Egypt. Now he's spending 40 years old in a desert being what? A sheep herder. Now, on the list of occupations in the Middle East, you know where the sheep herder was? People wouldn't even want to associate with sheep shepherds because they smelled and they were considered the low life, if you will. And so, here's Moses. I want to set the stage. Moses has had some failures, some ego problems, and God, for 40 years, has now been working on those things with Moses, and it comes time now for Moses to step into leadership.